We're talking with TD. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right, you are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We are rolling into another week. Week 7, Tennessee Titans. Hey, folks, Mike Vrabel. We're going to get into that. We got ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter Mike Reese coming on, and he's going to talk to us a bit about what's been going up there in New England, what they got popping, and we'll get into that. Brian Callahan, no longer the head coach. I know a lot of people are happy about that. A person lost their job, so let's, you know, kind of make sure we keep that in perspective. Obviously, he's still going to be getting paid, so the money part of it's there. But when you get these types of jobs, you're doing what you love to do. So that has been taken from him, or his not achieving the results has cost him not to have it anymore. I guess that's the better way to put it. And in comes Mike McCoy. We'll get into that a bit. Mike Vrabel, though, that's the one I want to. Well, let's table that for a second, Connor. We'll table that and get to that. Because we, look, had some pretty good convos in the locker room. You know, Amani Hooker, Jeffrey Simmons has some comments in a scrum. And then Tajay Spears. So got some one-on-ones with Spears and Hooker that I want to bring to you guys. So we're not going to talk a whole lot in this opening segment. But when you look at Brian Callahan, I think it was one of those things where, you know, at 4-19 and then seeing what happened in that Raiders game, It was very disappointing. So I can understand making that move, but I can't help but think that that move was done to say, hey, I ain't letting Mike Vrabel beat me down to the point where I got to fire my coach. We're going to get that done ahead of the game.
It absolutely was done. Because even if it wasn't, like if Vrabel comes in here, whoops the Titans' butt, and then they fire Callahan, even if that was never the intention, that is always going to be the story. It's going to be put back. Kind of like how, maybe not a direct comparison, but the Eagles came in here a couple years ago, A.J. Brown balled out, the Eagles put belt to butt, as you would say, to the Titans.
And then A.J. Brown, literally, remember he pointed at the goalpost and
started spanking it. Yeah, exactly. And then the following Tuesday, they fired John Robinson. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that one's more of a direct correspondence to that, but it's the same message, right?
Yeah.
So I think this was absolutely a move that they made to attempt to kind of deter the narrative away from, well, Mike Vrabel just got his replacement fired. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a fact. And here's the thing, man. The facts are the facts, right? When you look at this whole thing, 83 points through six games. It hasn't been that few points scored through six games by a Titans team since 1985, man. And I've been saying this stat multiple times. Like, I was 9 years old. I'm 49 now. You know, it's been 40 years since something like that has happened. And that's crazy to me. But then also you just look at the struggles. Cam Ward has more interceptions than touchdowns. He has some comments too, just about, and it's hard because it's like, okay, is he saying that he wasn't allowed to play his game, or is he saying that he has to be better? I'm not sure exactly what it was that he was saying, but when you look at this, it's like you're saying if you're able to play your game, the league will be on notice, right? And so what I'm assuming, because Cam Ward spoke about it on Wednesday, and he was talking about the things that he could get better and improve upon. So I'm guessing he's not saying Callahan was holding him back. But then you kind of look at it. So it's
right.
That's one of those things. It's tough to read between the lines. I guess we'll see how this changes with a different figurehead. Because regardless of whether Callahan or Bo Hardigree were calling the plays, Callahan in essence had the final word. You know, I asked him that. He said, you know, if there's something I want to veto, I'm going to veto it, and we're going to, you know, how is this going to be with Mike McCoy, right? So there's a lot to look into with that. I think at the end of the day, though, there were two damning things to me, right? The one damning thing, well, the biggest damning thing to me was Jeffrey Simmons, right? And not Simmons himself, but his comments, where he said, hey, This was one of the worst weeks of practice.
Yeah.
And we came out flat on Thursday.
Complacency.
Wait a minute. You're 1-4. You entered this week 4-18.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned if anybody's complacent under my watch when I got that record. You know what I mean? So right. I'm just curious what happened there. And even in that Thursday practice, Jeffrey Simmons had to call. He called J.C. Latham out. And Connor, I will tell you, that extended into the locker room. Like, they were still discussing things in the locker room. And to the point where Latham had the tablet. And Jeff's like, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and they were like, they were talking. And then, you know, Jeff walked away and they were still talking on opposite sides of the room. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. You know, and the one chance you get, the best chance you get to win consecutive games and end that 3-year streak of not winning consecutive games, like they haven't won consecutive games since 2022.
Yeah. 3 years.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. But you're going against this Raiders team without Brock Bowers.
Yep.
They beat them without Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Their best player.
Their best player.
And even on the Latham front, you said it earlier, maybe off the air, but Max Crosby ate Latham's lunch whole game. And I love J.C. Latham, and I think he's going to be a great offensive lineman for years to come. But he did not play like a first-round pick.
And it's tough because the right hip, you know what I mean? You're a right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You're kicking back. Like, that's a tall order to start off. But, like, J.C. Latham, like, much respect to J.C. You know what I mean? He's like, yo, they drafted me to block guys like that. I didn't do my job. So, to put a bow around it, we'll see what happens with Mike McCoy. Hardigree is still going to be the play caller. Nick Holtz is still the OC. Now, he did say he wants to get Luke Stocker and Randy Jordan more involved in the run game. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that works. But Mike McCoy, if I could give you any piece of advice, that screen game, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that, like that those pages in the playbook, take it, crumble it up, throw it in the trap. Kobe, yell Kobe and shoot it in the trash can. That's what I need you to do.
You don't have the guys to do that.
They don't. Yo, cornerbacks turn into damn. I'm trying to think of the most. They turn into Lester Hayes. Like they turn into the most ferocious cornerbacks on screens against the Titans. I don't know what it is, but just get it out of the package.
It ain't work.
Get it out of the package.
It ain't work.
That's that with the Titans coaching change. That coaching change from Vrabel to Callahan was made because of struggles, you know, 22-23, and now Vrabel is returning. I will say this, Mike Vrabel, and this week is kind of a reminder of how much of an impact he's had on this franchise, talking to some of these guys. Yeah. So we're going to bring you three different conversations. The first one actually is Tajay Spears, and I wanted to get into this because, you know, Tajay is very big on the mental aspect of things, and he and Vrabel connected on that level. So it was good talking to Tajay. This was from Wednesday when I got to discuss some things with him. Here's Tajay Spears on Mike Vrabel.
We had a really good relationship. You know, he always, you know, said encouraging things to me. Always checked on me and my people. And, he was great. He was great to me, man. And, And every Wednesday we would do like this mental, I forgot what we used to call it, but it's like what we, like he honed in on like meditation and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
Was that something he did with you specifically, or just with the?
Just with the whole team. Just with the whole team. Yeah, he was big when it comes to like mental health and stuff like that.
Is that unique to what you've experienced? And obviously, this is your only NFL, but in other coaching environments or football environments?
No, you know, like these last few years, like mental health has been a big thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of coaches pushing it now, and we got a lot of programs just going into place that's supporting like mental health. So yeah, it's like, you know, I know Coach Fritz did it for sure.
Okay.
And he did it. And did Brian do it? Brian probably did it. He always tried to keep us in the right mental space by showing us like different you know, coaching philosophies. You know, everywhere you go, everybody will have a different philosophy when it comes to coaching. So, you know, it's a lot of good things that Brian did. It's a lot of good things that Verbal did that always stick with me.
Given the relationship that you've established, what are your thoughts about going out there and facing him on the other side of the field for the first time?
It's gonna be pretty cool. Like, you know, it's gonna be pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Cause, like, you know, it sucks that he got fired from here. Only to say, like, man, you build a relationship with somebody like that and they get fired. And it's not just with Brian too. Like, you build a relationship over the last 2 years, and he get fired. So it's gonna be, you know, fired up to see that he has a job and he's successful. And also, it's going to be the same thing when Brian go get him a job. It's going to be good to see him have a job and basically on the opposing team or the same team. Maybe, you know, down the line, it's going to be good to see them doing successful because you see the work they put in behind the scenes. You see how good of leaders they try to be. So it's always, you know, you always be rooting for, you know, your guys.
No doubt.
So that was Tarjay Spears there. Notice the connection, right? We're not talking about on the field. We're talking about the mental health side of things. And that's something I know Vrabel was big on because I remember the one time he said, you know, he tells the guys, if you ask somebody how they're doing, actually, you know, sit and listen to the answer and like digest their answer, you know, because so many times, how you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm good. Boom. And you keep it moving. Like, that's just natural how it works. So, so that's Tarjay Spears. I don't know that there are two guys that have been with Vrabel, on this roster longer than Jeffrey Simmons and Amani Hooker. And obviously we know Jeffrey Simmons, like that was the guy. That was Vrabel's guy. You know, you'd always point to him like, hey, this is how it's done. So here's Jeffrey Simmons right now. And I like the comments here and it shows understanding and it shows that, you know what, there's a killer on this Titans team and Jeffrey Simmons is that guy.
I don't really care about none of that. You know, my job is, I know his mindset coming into his game. I know probably what he's telling his team right now, but at the end of the day, you know, we got to make it a fight. We know that his guys are going to fight. They're going to fight for him. Maybe try to help him, try to, you know, do a little extra, maybe get a win for him. But at the end of the day, it's our job to go in there with mindset that we won't let it happen. You know, I know our relationship off the field, but I give two. It's not curse, but I can care less about the relationship when it comes down to Sunday. You know, my job is to go out there and play football and have the Tennessee Titans get a win.
Appreciate him cleaning that up for us.
Yeah, right. I could care less about the relationship. My job is to help the Titans win. I like the mindset. You know, that's the right way to look at it. And as Simmons said, it's going to be a fight. You know, and that's one thing with Vrabel teams. Yeah, okay, you might win the game, but you're going to feel like you fought. You know, you were in a battle. So I mentioned Hooker as one of the guys. So here's Amani Hooker, what he had to say in regards to facing Vrabel. And he has some interesting comments as well about, you know, the situation that has arisen in with the Titans, right, with Brian Callahan being fired.
In front of him for the first time.
It's exciting. I mean, just being here with him, he always talked about, you know, putting good on film because you never know who around the league is watching. And, you know, now that he's on the other team, I know how he talks to his guys and I know how he approaches his team meeting. So I've always wanted to put, you know, good things on film, especially this week. He's watching my film, watching my tape. So hopefully he can say, you know, that's a guy we want to look out for. Hopefully it's positive things that they got to stop. But, I mean, it's good vibes. I'm excited to play this.
It's always status quo. Oh, this is just the next game. But
yeah. No, it's exciting. It's exciting. I mean, they have, like, 11 of our coaches that were here over there. So it's going to be fun. I know they're excited to see me. I've already kind of been talking to them this off season a little bit with like Coach Booker that's over there.
Yeah.
He's my safety's coach coming in. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun game.
Does it have any extra meaning at all?
Whenever you get, you know, bragging rights, if I talk to them after the game, in the off season, down the road sometimes, like, hey, I beat y'all. You know, I mean, it's just bragging rights. I mean, that's what we compete for. But other than that, no, we're just trying to go out here and get a win.
Knowing, like, his approach defensively and how you guys played in that stretch,
yeah.
Do you say anything to any of the guys on the offense side? Like, man, this is something they're going to do.
I mean, it's a simple thing. I mean, it's if it's on offense, they're going to try and block longer than the guy with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And on defense, they're going to try and go full tilt to the tackle. You know what I mean? So if you want to understand what their mindset is, it's they're going to try and block you until the whistle blows. And if they're on defense, they're going to try and storm the ball.
Okay, gotcha. Yep. And then last thing with Callahan, obviously, you know, that's not a move anybody wanted, but what are your thoughts on the move and, you know, where you guys are going forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it sucks whenever someone has to, you know, leave and, you know, they have to get relieved of their job. So that kind of, but it falls back on us as well. If we, you know, I bet if we were winning, playing good, then he would still have a job. So, but regardless, we have to be able to move on and find a way to win. We have a great group of guys here that are good leaders as well, and great men that love the game of football. So you go out here and just want to compete.
Do you take it personally at all?
I mean, yeah, I would. I mean, I would take it personally as far as just, you know, we're not playing good. Something has to change. So now it's, we got rid of the coach. So if it doesn't change, then we're going to start getting rid of some players. So it's our job to keep our job and play and win.
Mm. That's like the Jordan meme, right?
Yeah.
And I took that personally.
Yeah. The last dance.
The last dance. I like the spark and the fire that he has in talking about that. And you know what? As a player, your coach gets fired, you need to take it personally.
Yeah.
You really do. And I think these guys have taken it personally. Now, does that mean to go out and beat the Patriots? Very unlikely, but nevertheless. I wanted to bring some of those conversations. I love getting to talk to those guys in that type of setting where you can have an actual conversation and not like try to talk over somebody. And, hey man, I gotta get this following. You can have a conversation. So I'm glad we were able to do that. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We got Run TMC and a little bit later we got Mike Reese. So stay tuned.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Starting as shooting guard for your New Jersey Nets. Out of the University of Maryland, by way of Brooklyn, New York. Number 55, not Bernard, but Albert King.
And now, starting for the Boston Celtics, Robert Parrish.
The Chief.
you look just like him, man. Guaranteed.
He's just a little bit darker and got a little more hair. That's like me saying you look like Mike Jaminski, man. Come on now.
Wow, that's cold. That's cold, man. I was gonna call you Tom Jackson. I mean, you look just like Tom Jackson. Hey, his afro never moved. It was just perfectly there.
Like a perfect microphone, man. I remember we had this principal. His name was Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
And he had an afro like that. I remember I said, Mr. Cooper, your afro looked like a microphone. I got in-school suspension for that.
Hey, first of all, Mr. Cooper, you have to have the perfect afro.
Yeah, it was before the Mr. Cooper that used to play for the Golden State Warriors. It was before that one. You know, I'm an old head, man. You know, I was in school earlier than that. But regardless. I don't even know where to go
crazy,
from that,
man. I don't even know either, man. We got to smile at what's going on with these Tigers.
Hey, listen, you got to laugh to keep from crying, right? You know, I guess that's the perspective.
Yeah, man.
Well, let's start there. Brian Callahan, he's no longer the head coach. Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is it a move that had to be made, or should they have waited? Should they have done it sooner?
This is just my opinion, and everybody may differ. I just think that you wait till the season's over because now we already know you're losing. You're 1-5. I know they want to make change real quick, but just let the season play out and just start completely fresh. Get a new head coach, get new guys in here, so now you can build how that coach wants. Because now you know, I know we got an interim head coach, but still, you still have to change a little bit of the identity because now you have a different personality than Brian Callahan. So you got to adapt his personality. You got to adapt what he wants. I know he's been there, but you still have to adapt to him as a head coach as opposed to a position coach.
I'm curious how this thing is going to play out because Bo Hardigree is still, you know, the play caller. Bill Callahan, he's gone, and he left his toys around. I don't know if you saw my post earlier, but he has the Cali's corner. There's still all the bags and sleds and stuff over there. Matt Jones is running the offensive line. But is Mike McCoy someone you would consider, like, as an actual candidate for the head coaching job?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't – I'm still unfamiliar with him as a head coach to me. I'm just talking about me personally.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know – you just got to get somebody in there and just, this is me, you just got to start completely all over. You have to start over and create the identity. Get your own coaching staff. I mean, get the people that you want in here because you still have Callahan's guy that he brought in. So, you know, it's still, you know, Brian Callahan still has a fingerprint on this team because he has some of his coaches that he brought in. So, you know, what do you do? But at the end of the season, I think that, you know, the powers that be need to sit down and evaluate, okay, what type of coach do you want? How do you want to be? What's the identity? Who's making the final choice? Who has the final say? So all those things that you that need to come into fruition and hiring a head coach.
Well, where would you say Brian Callahan went wrong? You know, let's start on offense. Let's start overall, and then you could tell me if you think something offensive.
I just think that there was just so many things going on. And there's coaches that are good head coaches, and there's some good some great coaches that are just good position coach. With me, I know my role. I know that I don't know how I would do as a head coach, but as a position coach or wide receiver, I'm excellent at that. And with Brian Callahan, I mean, I know he was there with the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was a position coach. I just think that he's a better position coach than a head coach. And I just say that respectfully because when you're a head coach, you know, you got so many responsibilities. With him, he had to call the plays. He had to make sure if somebody was hurt to get a certain person in. He's got to, you know, do the replay and all those things that you have to do as opposed to just being a head coach and let your coaches coach. I think that's where we went wrong at right there.
You know what, Chris, it's funny you mentioned that because on Tuesday when Mike McCoy spoke, he got into a little bit about being the head coach and why experience is so important. He was like, man, when I was first in San Diego, like they put something across my desk, and I was like, what? This is my job? I got to take care of this? And it's so right because what goes under the radar is that trip that they just had, the back-to-back Cali trips. That's a lot of West Coast trips. That's a lot of
work.
Logistics and stuff to work through. So
yeah.
I like that you make that point. When you look at Callahan offensively and you look at Cam Ward and the struggles that he's had, I mean, what do you make of that?
You know what? I know me and you with the football IQ really understand this. The only thing that I kind of struggle with a little bit of watching the game last week is some of the formations, and I'm going to tell you why. Is when you have a quarterback that's kind of holding the ball long and you get it empty, You see what I'm saying? When you spread them out, that means he's got to get rid of the ball quick because there's some pressure coming somewhere because you can't block everybody.
Yeah.
And I just think that when you're putting your quarterback in a bad position to where sometimes he holds the ball long and you put him in empty, that's why you saw some of the sacks. And I was like, that was kind of tough to watch because he's holding the ball long at an empty. You got to get out immediately.
Yeah.
You got to know your read. You got to know, okay, this is the coverage. I'm not even going through the read progression. I'm going to this guy because the coverage allows me. Mm-hmm. But when you got a quarterback that's taking a five and seven step drop and you're in empty, that's why Crosby and him were teeing off.
Listen, I like J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
Max Crosby ate his lunch. Like,
man, ate him up.
That was bad, man. And there were
that
times when, you know, they had a tight end chip and it still didn't work. So, I mean, to your point, you go empty, like everything is hot. You know what I mean? You're on fire. You go empty. You know, but here's the thing that really confused me, though. If you go empty and spread it out, okay, you're giving your guys air and opportunity to operate, but they were going empty in a tight formation.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point that I'm.
Yeah.
And me and you know, me and you, and no disrespect, I'm not saying nobody doesn't know football, but in a football sense, and I'm not saying the coaches don't, no, I'm just looking at it in my perspective that, man, you get in this formation, you got to get it out fast. You better throw a screen. You better throw a RP. You can't do RPO. You got to do something to where you got to throw it quick, a quick slant, a quick hit, something to get the ball to him, because guess what? Somebody's coming.
Yeah. Well, and here's my thing, right? Here's my thing with the RPOs. You mentioned that. Obviously, you're not doing that out of empty, but when you're in a formation that allows you to do that, why aren't you doing it? You know what I mean? Why aren't you? This is what came. Now, I asked Mike McCoy about that on Wednesday, and he gave me some, oh, well, I don't want to share strategy. Bro, I'm not asking you to tell me you're going to do it. I'm just asking you what your thoughts are on it, but whatever. Either way, that's a part of what Cam Ward excelled at in college. He excelled at being on the move. And if you remember, there was a, it was, I want to say, third quarter. I want to say third quarter where they booted Cam Ward to the, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, play action. And you got the cross from the side he's booting away from to the side that he's booting to. And Van Jefferson had like a 20-something yard gain. It's like, maybe you want to try that again. But instead, you want to keep doing screens. 5 for 5, 8 yards, none of them first downs. Listen, I don't mind me. I wasn't feeling that wasn't the thing that they should do.
Right. Yeah, and it's wild because, you know, It's like when you get in a formation, it's like, well, I'm gonna break it down. When you go empty, right? When you go empty, there's two things that's gonna happen. The quarterback's gonna run the ball, or it's gonna be a quick pass.
Yeah.
You don't think the defense knows that?
So now they come up and they line up right in your mustache, as you would say.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, now you better beat press coverage. And when you got the tight formation like that, the guys bunched up a little bit. I always like bunch. But you better have the point man be able to win at the line of scrimmage. Because otherwise, you got two receivers being taken out. And forget about throwing that way. I'm just saying.
And you're right, man. I mean, that's why I call you coach, man, because you break it down. You know? But see, here's the thing. Say if you go bunch and you go empty, all that stuff. And say if the point man gets jammed, and then you have the other two guys, they have to hesitate to let him get off the jam.
Exactly.
But when you're an empty, you don't have that much time for that to happen. It's a bang bang play.
Yeah, ain't no chatter at the line of scrimmage. I don't got time to talk to you. I gotta go because
the heat is coming. The heat is coming. And I just think that, and I wrote it down, I just put down formations. Because after the game, I just kind of go through the game and just kind of look at some things. And the first thing I regulated or knew is some of the formations. And, you know, that's just what I pointed out. That's got to get better, the formations to where you protect your quarterback.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Well, they're going to have to get it right this week, right? Because you know who's coming to town, Mike Vrabel. And I tell you, in the first segment, man, talking to some of the guys, like they know what's up. They know it's going to be a fight. They know that they have to have their A game. But what are your thoughts on Mike Vrabel coming to town?
It's going to be a dogfight, and I guarantee he's going to have his team ready. They're going to play physical. You know, May's playing phenomenal. I think he's completing 71 to 73% of his passes. You know, he's doing a great job. Their defense is playing physical. So I guarantee you, you better strap it on. You better have your mouth guard in. You better have your knee pads in. You better have your shoes tied up, because it's going to be a physical battle. That's what Mike Vrabel loves. Mike Vrabel loves a physical battle, control on offense. But at the line of scrimmage, we running through your face. So the Tennessee Titans better get ready, because it's going to be a physical battle, man.
Isn't it pretty cool how he just basically reproduced his previous program in New England?
No.
I was looking. They have 10 coaches. Well, 10, wow. Yeah, I mean, because you got Stretch and you got Pirano. Yeah. You could count them as coaches as well, so that makes 10. It's crazy, the migration that went on.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is you get coaches that have the same DNA that you have.
Yep.
That's what you do. If I go to Zimbabwe, I'm bringing the coaches with me. Why? Because we all have that same DNA. And Zimbabwe. You know, when you get a coach like that, this is, okay, I'm hiring guys that have the same attitude I have, that has the same brand that I have, that has the same, you know, identity that I have. Let's go. It's funny because I played with him at Ohio State. And when he was at Ohio State, he had an edge about himself. I mean, you know, he'll act nice sometimes, but he's trying to tear your face mask off.
Yeah.
So now, if I have that DNA, I'm getting the same coaches that have that DNA. I'm going to draft the same players that have that same DNA. Why? Because that's the identity that we're building. So it's going to be a dogfight on Sunday, man.
How do you think the players should take this? Like, how do you think they should approach this game?
You know, I mean, I don't think if you start to make it personal because, you know, it's Mike Vrabel, then now that's when the mistakes happen. Now you try to do something that you're not supposed to do or get a personal foul because you're mad at them. I just think that, you know, you got to, as a player, you got to treat it as a game. Treat it as, I got to make the play. If I'm a wide receiver, I got to do what I need to do. If I'm a defensive end, I got to get the quarterback. If I'm a safety, I got to read the quarterback's eyes. If I'm a quarterback, I got to make the right read. So as a player, they just got to go do their job and let them coaches handle that. Because I guarantee you, Mike Vrabel wants to handle it. But as players, we got to handle it on the field as opposed to in the media.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Like, I guarantee you he wants to, you know, put that belt to the butt. But you know what I mean? He really wants to give it to this team. There's a revenge factor in this. Do you think how much do you think, like, all that goes? I personally think once they're on the field, all that goes aside and goes to waste because you're just focusing on your job. What are your thoughts? Do you agree with that?
I agree with you 100%. I mean, once they get in the field, all that stuff just kind of ceases. But the niceness is going to happen before the game. They're going to hug each other and dap each other. Hey, how you doing? I love you. How's the family doing? When you get on the field, when you put that mic, them headphones on, he's going to say a couple of words that he don't like that other team on the other side. When you get on the field.
It's not going to be PG rated, huh?
It's going to be some bad words saying, and it's going to be a game that I'm looking forward to seeing, TD.
What are your thoughts on Josh McDaniel as a play caller?
I think he's pretty good. I mean, but it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Some people are good head coaches. Some people are good position coaches. Yeah. That's a perfect example right there. He's a great play caller. He's a great, you know, a great, great scheme guy. But then when you get to being a head coach, now you got a whole bunch of more responsibilities. But when you're just focusing on your situation, I think, in my opinion, he's still one of the best in the league.
Nah, without a doubt. There's an energy thing to him that I like. He does have that jerk to him also, so you can see how he and Vrabel, you know, they mesh. And that's not to say that Vrabel is 100% a jerk, because we know that he's not that, but he has that part to him.
Yeah, when you talk about jerk move, I'm going to give you just a visual picture so the listeners can see. It's kind of like, you know, the play's almost over, and you're standing by the pile, and all of a sudden you see a lineman trying to run through your face.
I tell you what. That's one of the players I talked to. That's what they said. Hey, you better know darn well that you better play through the whistle, because they're going to be doing it. That's Monty Hooker. He told me that, because I was like, hey, what would you tell these offensive guys? You know what I mean? Knowing that what he preached to you guys on defense. He was like, yeah, play through the whistle.
Yeah, you better, because somebody's coming. That's just how Mike Vrabel was. He did it at Ohio State. If you stand by the pile and the whistle ain't blow, you better keep your mouth guard in, your knee pads in, your mouth guard in, or you're going to get hit. Absolutely.
Buckle up that chin strap extra tight. Well, listen, man, before we get out of here, man, I was watching old Star Wars, right?
Oh, my God.
I was watching it with my daughter. This is crazy, man. This is so crazy. So I'm watching it with my daughter, and you met her, actually. So we're watching it, and this guy came out, and they were on the Millennium Falcon, and the guy came out, and he bought one. He pulled out this comb, and he started combing his hair from front to back, and he had a mustache, and he had a little Fu Manchu going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And my daughter was like, Dad, that's the guy who came and watched the Super Bowl with us, the one that you do radio with? I was like, nah, Devin, that's not Chris Sanders. That's Lando Calrissian, a.k.a. Billy D. Williams.
My wife's over here laughing. If you got to laugh at him, then I'm out, man.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
I almost want to just let that play. But my guy on the other end here, he's a Boston legend. We got Boston legends at a younger age in New Edition on this song. And we're going to discuss a Boston legend in Mike Vrabel. How much better can it be than be able to have ESPN NFL Nation, Patriots reporter, the GOAT himself, Mike Reese, my guy. What's going on, man?
TD, that's an awesome intro. So great to be with you. Can't wait to see you this weekend. And always great coming to town.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I'm looking forward to it. This time around, though, it's kind of topsy-turvy, right? It used to be, hey, Mike Vrabel's going against his former team, the Patriots. Now it's Mike Vrabel with the Patriots going against his former team, the Titans. So let's start with this. I know Vrabel has a way of downplaying everything. Is there any sign of hope that this game means a little more to him than any other?
So I don't think he's showing that, TD, but I think if you know Mike Vrabel, you know it does. And I just would go back to something Teddy Bruschi said on Get Up this week when Greeny asked him, you know, do you ever get the sense that Mike Vrabel will have a chip on his shoulder on something like this? And Teddy started laughing, TD, and he said, he still reminds me when I picked against the Titans. You know, so that's Mike, right? And you know that. I know that. And so, and that's part of what makes Mike Mike, which is cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you've gotten to interact with him as a player and as a coach. You have a very unique perspective. What are your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, the player, versus Mike Vrabel, the coach?
Well, I'm just so impressed with what I've seen as a coach, TD. And I think the thing that maybe is a little bit different from when he was a player is, I guess I would call it the empathy piece. Like, he really leans in and he really cares, yes. You know, and I think he does that with his players as the coach, but I also think specific to just even media stuff,
yep.
You know, like there's a genuine interest in, you know, you as a person or, you know, who's connected to you and how you do your job. And it's that part is definitely, you know, I think as we all get older in life, maybe that's, we all, you know, evolve into that. And that's maybe the thing that stands out to me more than any other.
He really has evolved into that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because it's funny. Like, I saw him, and you know, like, I'm a big Mike Vrabel person. I'm not going to say a fan, but I really enjoy his work as a coach, as a player back in the day, and then even just as a person interacting. And I saw him at the owners meeting and or the league meetings, and he didn't ask me how I was doing first. He said, how's your daughter doing? Because he met my daughter, Devin, when he was leading the tornado relief efforts here. I went there. I brought my daughter with me, and like this was like 2020. And 5 years later, he's still like, hey, how's your daughter? Is she in college yet? No, she's not in college, but she's going this summer. Like, that's the type of thing. Or you look at what he would say when he was here. I remember he would always say, hey, you know what? If you ask somebody how they're doing, make sure you mean that. And you listen to what they say back to you. Like, those are things that are just different. And I think the way Mike Vrabel was portrayed, it kind of does him a disservice because he's actually – he's a jerk, don't get it twisted, but he has that side that is very emotionally connecting as well.
Yeah, and I think the word that I would use, TD, too, and everything you said, I totally agree with, authentic. Like,
yes.
There's no airs. He's not trying to fool anyone, you know, like, this is who he is, right? And I do think the point about the kids is really cool because I think he loves kids. He's got two sons, as everyone knows. Tyler and Carter, and so I think that part is I watched him in training camp, you know, after every practice, TD, he went to go sign autographs, and it was always, he was always looking for the kids.
Yep. Vrabel loves the kids. So speaking of kids, well, he's not exactly a kid. He's still, sometimes I look at him as a kid because I remember him at his pro day in Maryland, University of Maryland, Stephon Diggs. He's obviously someone that you have to connect with in order to get something out of, and he's starting to come around. How have you seen that interaction?
TD, Stephon Diggs does a media at his locker every Wednesday, and literally someone asked him today about Mike Vrabel, and he said, I don't know how he did it, but I bought in, and that was Diggs. Diggs said that, and I was like, oh, this is so great. It's so honest, you know? And he, you know, Diggs also made the point, you know, it helps when you're winning. You know, if this is it and you're losing, you know, maybe you don't feel as strongly about it. Man, I don't know about you, TD, but Stephon Diggs, whether he was with the Vikings, the Bills, the, even the Texans last year, I've always been such a fan of the way he plays the game. I just think he's a great route runner. He's so competitive. And I have to say, like, you know, there's obviously everything that comes with him, not just on the field. There's, you know, he's going to create some headlines. But, man, I've just loved watching him play. And I think he's been like an alpha, you know, like raising the level of a young team. This is one of the youngest teams in the league. I think they average 26 years, you know, on opening day. Fourth youngest in the league, and I think Diggs has really helped elevate him.
Yeah, that's very well put. We're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter Mike Reeves. Mike, Garrett Bradbury, he was one of the guys that said, you know, he seems to think that this does mean something to Mike Vrabel. What are your thoughts on the connection that he's made with, Garrett Bradbury, Will Campbell, the first-round pick, even a veteran like Morgan Moses?
Yeah, so TD, this team, pass block win rate, our ESPN stat, I want to say they were 31st last year. The year before, I think they were 32nd, last in the league. So I'm just telling you, like, the pass blocking prior to this year, it has been not at a level that's conducive to throw the football. And you got to throw it to win in the league. And I think you mentioned Bradbury, you mentioned Will Campbell, the first-round pick out of LSU, Morgan Moses, veteran right tackle. You know, they got a young guard, Jared Wilson out of Georgia, third-round pick, Mike Owenu, the right guard.
Yeah.
The pass blocking is so much better that this is how good it's in New England right now. They're 4-2, they're in first place in the AFC East, and really, what all you can really harp on is that they're struggling to run the ball. You know, like, that's where we're at right now, TD. Like, oh, my God, how it's changed from the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's something else. And, look, you got Josh McDaniels running the show on offense. But one thing I've always noticed with Mike Vrabel's teams, the tight end coach, the pass game coordinator, that's a role that kind of is in training to be OC. Thomas Brown has that role. What are your thoughts on him? And then I do want to get into the assortment of former Titans coaches that are up there as well.
Yeah. Love Thomas Brown. Have really got, really enjoyed getting to know him. I was watching him coach a drill last week with the tight ends, and the intensity in which he was punching at the ball and trying to rip it out. I said, you know, like, this is what coaching's all about. Like, he is all in. I honestly think, TD, that if Josh McDaniels wasn't hired as the offensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel would have been just pleased to have Thomas Brown as his offensive coordinator. So I think this is like the daily double for Mike Vrabel to have Josh McDaniels and doing a great job helping develop Drake May. But Thomas Brown, I think in Mike Vrabel's eyes, is just like a coordinator. Like, it's the same thing. So really good coach. I would say I'm not sure how long he's going to be around, because he's probably I don't want to say overqualified, but maybe he's overqualified. And that's part of the reason that the Patriots have had success. They got a really good coaching staff, TD, which you know all about these guys, because a lot of them were former Titans coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Hardelang, Todd Downing. I want to look at the two TDs, man, Todd Downing and Tony Dews. You know, I call them TD2 and TD3 because, you know, I'm the one. But all jokes aside, how have you seen those guys and their interaction, and how has that been?
Well, so start with Todd Downing. You know, Stephon Diggs, I mentioned what he said about Vrabel. He said Todd Downing is one of his favorite position coaches that he's ever had. And you know, he had him in Minnesota for a year in 2018, if I have it off the top of my head. And so I think Todd Downing has done a tremendous job with receiver. It's been a position here in New England, and over the years, that they've just struggled to draft and develop, you know, and they're getting a lot out of Stephon Diggs. Obviously was free agent signing, but Kayshon Booty.
There he is.
LSU, third-year player. Oh, man, did he come up big in this last game. Mm-hmm. You know, Mac Hollins is sort of your big guy who helps out digging out the safeties in the run game. Pop Douglas in the slot. Kyle Williams, the third-round pick out of Washington State, hasn't necessarily come on yet, but he's in the pipeline. And then Tony Dews. You know, I think Tony is like that, just that mild-mannered presence that just is a centering sort of guy who just balances Mike and so well, Mike Vrabel, you know. And I've just loved getting to know him, TD. I bumped into him at unfortunately at a funeral for a Patriots employee whose son passed away. And I said to myself, here's Tony Dews, got hired by the Patriots, has just met this Patriots staffer within the last 4 or 5 months, and that he took the time to go to this funeral. I don't know, TD, maybe I'm oversharing. I just thought it really spoke volumes of the type of person that he is.
No, it's an excellent look into how thorough a lot of these guys are, man. Todd Downing, I mean, we still talk from time to time. And, you know, every once in a while, like, he'll send me a text, hey, thinking of you, or I'll send him the same thing. These guys are just genuine, as you said, authentic people that you connect with, man. And I cannot wait for Sunday to come. I cannot wait to be able to catch up with these guys. If you look at the defensive side, Justin Hamilton, the cornerbacks coach, I got cool with him. I remember he coached the cornerbacks at the Senior Bowl in 24. Then obviously Clint McMillan, Scott Booker as well. I actually talked to Monty Hooker today, and he said that he can't wait to see Scott Booker, who was his coach. So tell me a little bit of what you've seen from the defensive guys. We'll come around to Terrell Williams, Coach T, in a second. Yeah. I wanted to look at those three.
Yeah, so start with Justin Hamilton. I just really I was sitting in on with him last week and just was so impressed with just how he broke the game down. We were talking a lot of cornerback technique and nickelback technique. I was asking, Patriots have a great nickelback, Marcus Jones. Mm-hmm. And I was asking him because he had been in Indianapolis last year with Kenny Moore. And then he, of course, said, well, don't forget about Roger McCrary.
Huh.
Right? Right? So, and we just, I just thought, like, the level of detail on slot corners and just really good. And Patriots got good corners, TD, you know, with Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones, Charles Woods, you know, depth there. And then Scotty Booker, I'll give you a visual. I'm out at practice and they do a tackling drill. And I think that's Scotty Booker's drill. Like he's in charge of it and he's behind the defensive guys that have to, you know, play with the fundamentals and technique. And he gets that energy level up. You know, he is getting that energy level for those guys, letting them know when they're doing it right, getting excited for them. And then when they don't, he's right in there, you know, coaching them up. And I think just really, I know I'm probably like overdoing it, but I love watching all of them coach. Like,
yeah.
They're just good at what they do and they're so invested in it. And it's really been a treat to watch.
I'm glad you're seeing what I have been talking about, before you got to get on the field and watch those guys execute. So now you can understand, you know, my excitement.
Yeah.
When talking about them is awesome. Looking at some of the other coaches, and we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter Mike Reese, the GOAT himself. Tom Quinn, assistant special teams coach. I remember him here briefly. Frank Pirano from Boston College, and he was the strength coach here, and he's there. Good old Stretch, John Stryker. He's another one. I mean, this staff is littered with former Titans, but one of my favorite, Terrell Williams, obviously he's had his issues, his health issues. What's the latest on Coach T?
Well, so I think, you know, got diagnosed with the prostate cancer and he's been going through treatments according to Mike Vrabel, but it's doing better, coming along and comes to the facility whenever he can. And Mike Vrabel saying, you know, that's been uplifting to a lot of the people to see him because, you know, the one thing that I learned quickly about Terrell Williams is that he creates really special connections with his players. And, you know, I think that they took that to heart, TD, you know, when, you know, they didn't have him in the spring because he had the health scare in the spring. And then when the diagnosis came out, they were all wearing T-shirts before one of their home games that said T-Strong for Terrell. And so they're rallying around them.
You got to love that, man. You got to love that. We didn't really get to the roster too much on the defensive side, so I want to do that before we get out of here. A lot of people don't know Robert Spillane. He spent a preseason here. I remember they called him Hammerhead, man. He had he might have led the league in tackles that preseason. I want to say it was 2019. It could have been 2020, but nevertheless, he's a guy. But Harold Landry, he's a sack specialist, and he's doing his thing up there. I know he has the ankle injury. What's the latest there, and what have you seen from Harold Landry in his time with the Patriots?
Well, TD, I really thought he had a great camp, and he looked really explosive, with the get-off. And he had his right ankle sort of got, I guess call it friendly fire from a teammate, in this last game against the Saints. And I knew going out to practice today, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not out there. He played through it, but he didn't look the same to me. And so I'm curious. I know he's got to want to play in this game, but I think there could be a decision here as we get down to the end of the week as to how, can he be as effective as he wants to be? Because, when he's been healthy, to me, he's been their best rusher.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an outstanding player. So, man, there's a lot that we could get into. I guess in the interest of time, we'll go ahead and end it on this. If you had to really, really look at this, how much do you think this coaching staff is downplaying just that revenge factor? I don't like using the word revenge because it's not necessarily the best word, but I think it applies here.
Well, I do, TD, and I think the reason that I'd say, I don't know if Mike did this in Tennessee, but he names a game captain for each game. And I'll tell you, in week 5, the Patriots were playing the Bills, and he named Stephon Diggs the game captain. And he did that because Stephon Diggs was going back to play one of his former teams that traded him because it was personal to Stephon Diggs. In week 1, his game captain was Kalyvon Chaisson, a defensive end, because they were playing the Raiders. And which team did Kalyvon Chaisson play for last year? The Raiders. So, the game, it is personal at times, for players. And I think it's true that it's also personal for coaches. And you have to say that it isn't because you don't want it to affect your preparation and your focus. And I think that is genuine, authentic, and real. But I think we'd all be naive to think that there isn't a personal aspect to this matchup for Mike and the coaches that have been in Tennessee as well.
Yeah, and some of the players as well. Well, Mike, man, I appreciate it. Hey, if you don't hit me up when you get here on Saturday, you know what's going to happen on Sunday. We're going to have to go in a room and square up. So make sure you call me or you text me or something. Get in touch, and we'll get together.
You know I'm going to do it, and I'm also going to just give you a little jingle here. It goes something like this, TD.
Come on.
Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. When I dial my baby's number, I get a click every time. That's for my guy, TD.
Now, I'm not going to counter that with my Johnny Gill, Can You Stand the Rain? But, hey, maybe we'll get together. We'll sing that out on Broadway. You and me, man, with a bucket out there to collect some money.
TD, I need that more than you know.
Mike, much love, man. I will holler at you on Saturday.
The best, TD. I can't wait to see you.
So that was Mike Reese, man. Always, as you could tell, love the energy and getting the opportunity to talk shop with him. So shout out Mike Reese, the GOAT of ESPN NFL Nation. Their Titans are not say there. Our Titans reporter, and let's cut all that. We'll start over. So that was Mike Reese. He's the guy, man. I call him the GOAT of ESPN NFL Nation. He's our Patriots reporter, and I always love talking shop with him. So shout out to Reese. Shout out to Chris Sanders making this thing happen. Shout out to Connor Newt as well. Before I shout out you guys, the listeners. I got to shout out my guys over at Cobalt Collision, Nolensville Pike. Man, my guy Parsa, he got the C8 right. We had a little situation where we had to, you know, do some repairs. You know what I mean? I had a little accident on 24, but we're good to go. He got that going. So shout out Parsa at Cobalt Collision. And look, man, shout out to each of you. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I mean, look, if a show doesn't post when it normally does, I'm getting a DM or a text like, yo, what's up with the show this week? That's love right there. That's support. So definitely appreciate that. Those of you who haven't subscribed, definitely check us out. Search Talking with TD on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine list of materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.